Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery-lit corridors, and excellent parking, they have the space to help you get to the next level. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown. Space, rehearsal and recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
John, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. It is Friday. Yeah, man. We're just zipping through the month. We're zipping through the year. I thought we were zipping through the month of November, but we are zipping through the year. I have a great show for you guys today. Los Angeles indie rock band The Lonely Wild are here. They have a new album out called Chasing White Light, and they are on tour, and they stopped by the apartment to have a conversation. Great conversation. And then I accidentally deleted it, dude. Yeah, I accidentally deleted a conversation with a band that was here from out of town. Luckily, they had a gig in town the night that we did the conversation, and they were cool enough to come by the next day. A little different configuration. They came by the first day, Andrew and Dave and Jesse came by, but the next day, Andrew, David, and Ryan came by, and that's what you're going to hear. Like I said, they have a great album out called Chasing White Light. It's produced by the fabulous Mr. John Vanderslice. They recorded it in his place, and they are on tour right now with Young Buffalo all around America. Tonight, they will be at the Bootleg in St. Louis, Missouri. I urge you to go to thelonelywild.com, find out where you can get their album, and also find out if they're coming to a town near you. They'll be in on tour until the end of November. So anyway, I want to thank Andrew, David, and Ryan for coming by. I want to thank them for coming by twice. That was really nice of them and being so cool. They weren't mad at all. I don't really delete these. I deleted John Toles in the summer of 2012. But on Tuesday, I deleted not only The Lonely Wild, but also Dan Dyer. So we're on Dan Dyer to get him back in here to talk about stuff. So The Lonely Wild, we'll be talking to Andrew, David, and Ryan in just a second. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I got a show Tuesday, November 17th at the Townsend here in Austin. I will be doing a solo acoustic show. Opening for me will be my dear friend Jonas Wilson from so many bands. What Made Milwaukee Famous, Alpha Rev. We played together. He was in my band Gaudi, and then he produced a record of mine with me called El Payaso. And yeah, great. It's going to be a great time. Jonas doesn't do a lot of shows. The show is at 8 p.m. Tuesday, November 17th. Jonas starts at 8 p.m. I start at 9 p.m. Come on out, check it out, sing some songs, and have a good time with Johnny. Okay. Other than that, my computer was smashed. I'm picking it up this morning, and I'll have it for my shows this weekend. So look at that. Technology breaks and then gets fixed, just like my friend Ryan from The Lonely Wild, who had some keyboard issues the first night of their tour, but was able to get out to Guitar Center, get it fixed, get back on stage that night, and rock, all right? Well, listen, enjoy my conversation with Andrew, David, and Ryan, and once again, guys, I am sorry that I lost your our first conversation, but I'm so glad that you were so cool and came back and did it again. So, everyone, check out The Lonely Wild at thelonelywild.com. Pick up their brilliant album, Chasing White Light, produced by the great John Vanderslice, and see if they're coming to a town near you. They're touring the Midwest and the East Coast. So check it out. Here's my conversation with Andrew, David, and Ryan, The Lonely Wild. Let's get down. Totally. I have had people that you have to go like, okay, put it down.
I want to just like focus.
I want to do like the soundtrack to our interview while we're talking.
Where were you yesterday? Oh, did you have
I had to go get a new keyboard.
Okay. It was, what'd you get?
Oh, I got. Well, I use a keyboard controller for for a laptop rig, and it was freaking out or something. So I got a M-Audio Code. It's like the new one they came out with. It's pretty cool.
I use this Axiom.
Yeah, I have an Axiom too.
Yeah. 61 key, semi-weighted.
Oh, cool.
Because I have to do synth, horns, organ, piano. Oh, really?
Synth, horns, that's
like,
tough.
You know, synth and horns. And it's kind of weird.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. I feel like the hardest thing to do sampled is horns. For some reason, I don't know why.
The Cure did it.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that, like, on Why Can't I Be You? Is that...
I always assume it just sounds so fake to me, unless they just, like, process the shit out of it or something.
Hmm. I don't know.
It just sounds like synth
horns. You never know. Are you guys Cure fans?
I like,
them. I don't know their whole catalog, but...
What was your name again? Sorry.
Ryan. And
Your
name?
Johnny.
Johnny, okay.
Yeah, see, we're just getting to know each other. All right. First of all, to Andrew and Dave, I'm so sorry.
Hey, man, it happens.
We love to talk about ourselves. It's okay.
I know. It's terrible.
I heard about this great recording session yesterday.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
Late at night, we heard that we had to come back and
do
another take.
Were you mad at all? Because you really handled it with such kindness.
No. You want to extend the understanding to the others in the
I'm so
community.
Sorry. I was talking to my grandma about it yesterday or this morning, and she was like,
"What a good boy."
They came from California, and I said, "Yeah, but they're coming back," and she said, "Oh, they are because you're nice."
Also because we so thoroughly enjoy self-promotion.
Yeah,
I've been having so many like technical problems recently that
on the tour.
Just my life in general. So I just feel it sort of seemed like part for the course. Like, oh, it just got erased. That seems perfectly natural.
Everything that could go wrong.
I was telling these guys yesterday. I didn't tell you this because I was trying to go through it in my mind. Is that my battery, a battery that I bought in 2014, just died when I was getting my oil change the other day. And they were like, "Man, this battery's dead."
Oh, the car?
So I had to get a new battery. Then Friday night, smashed my keyboard, my computer. My computer that I use for my keyboard sounds.
Jeez.
Anyway, so you guys played the Mohawk last night.
We did.
And you had your first gig with Young Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And you met them?
We did.
Okay, so how was that?
A great bunch of young fellows.
It's always interesting.
Young Southern gents.
It's always interesting meeting a band that you're going to be sharing the road with for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Like, please, let them be awesome. And they're really cool. So.
Did you already find like your main dude? Like, I'm gonna hang out with this dude probably. Coffee in Atlanta with this guy.
Days. Yeah, it switches, maybe.
We're just the dogs kind of just like sniffing each other's butts a little bit, getting a feel for it. And then later we'll see who the playmates are.
Yeah. How did people, was the reaction good? I know that's a weird question, isn't it?
I think so.
I felt like we definitely met some super fans and stuff, and it was good.
How did Amy hear you guys? Because Amy Langton, who you stayed with, have you met her before?
She had seen a couple of our gigs at this past South By.
Okay.
And then I think I was chatting with her. And I just sort of kept in touch with her. And
I think we met you at one of them, too.
Yeah, she introduced us to you.
It was like a party before, like, the official music part of South By. It was during
We met. She brought us up to a restaurant. I think you were there.
That's right.
No. Yeah, yeah. It was a very brief. It was just a
that
quick
was the one.
Passing.
That was the one night that I went out.
Yeah.
It was like St. Patrick's Day.
I think it was.
Like Tuesday or something. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ended up hanging out with another band that they were working with, Skinny Lister, who was an English band. Anyway, so...
I met that guy as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember.
English dudes.
Yeah.
Those guys are wild, man. So, the reaction was good. Amy was good. She brought out some people.
Yeah.
And you met her at South By at a thing. Do you meet a lot of people that way going to festivals? Like, do you have friends in every city now?
We're starting to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some more than others, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some familiar faces now that we've been around the country 5-6 times.
We're getting the interesting phenomenon where like you'll see somebody that you know from somewhere, but you're like, are you?
Oh yeah,
yeah, and it'll be like people. Yeah, last night we had people who saw us in St. Louis.
Oh really?
Were out here for this show, and then our last show we had somebody who has seen us in San Diego, but was seeing us in Phoenix, and it's very like. Like, yeah, I know you from somewhere, but not here. No,
yeah.
It's very strange. But
You know what? Here's something we didn't touch on yesterday. Was that in this region, there's a region, like you have a region that you tour, and you kind of come up playing Dallas once a month, San Antonio, Austin, you know, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, this kind of thing. Like, is California, do you guys do that? Like, do you do a San Diego weekend or like a...
We try to.
Yeah, we do California Southern California. And stuff like well, that. We get up to San Francisco, too.
There's quite fewer a bit. Nearby markets,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, out. It's a little more spread out than
San
here.
San Francisco's out. 5 hours and San Diego's like three.
San Francisco's more than 5 hours.
6 hours.
But there's like a in-between city you can hit.
There are. I mean, there's like a...
Not if you're going straight up the 5 to get there.
Yeah.
And Santa Barbara doesn't have like a...
Santa Barbara and slow. There's not. It's yeah. not really happening.
You know what happened to me one time in Santa Barbara playing a gig?
Mm-hmm.
A guy that we were opening for was like, oh, my amp is broken. Can I use your amp? And I was like, sure. And he kicked the fucking head off of his cabinet. My head. He kicked it at the end of the show.
Yeah, sounds
like
about
in this
right.
punk rock fit where I was just like... And then my amp was going...
Jesus.
It was unbelievable. Like, I didn't even know what to say to the guy.
Like, playing are you Sublime serious? Covers?
What a jerk that guy was. I can't even remember what they were doing. I just remember my tour manager coming up to me and going, hey, mate, that motherfucker just kicked over your amp. And I was like, what? Because I lent it to him? Like, who would do that to somebody? Yeah. Anyway.
Bro festa.
I remember one of our South By shows, we let our gear be up there for the whole show where all our like label
not a good idea
there. And yeah, one of the other bands just like runs my bass amp as loud as it'll go. I'm like, I think it's gonna blow it, but I thankfully didn't.
It's funny because you want to be able to always like whatever.
Most musicians are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just sort of they get it.
Yeah.
There's drummers though. Drummers sometimes. Like,
yeah, man, quit it with the drummers. Totally unfounded.
All right, so let's talk about Chasing White Light. I know we talked about it yesterday. You were informed, the making of, or the writing of this album was informed by the death of your wife's grandmother. In essence, your grandmother-in-law.
That's kind of, how it started. It was...
Right.
All the songs kind of ended up turning into kind of about death in one way or another. And then one of the earlier songs I wrote, too, was called Scar, which is about a childhood friend of mine.
Right.
Actually, I have the scar right here. You can't see it over the podcast waves.
Let me see.
Wait, what does the scar have to do?
So the scar.
With, okay.
So didn't tell the story yesterday. Actually,
yeah,
we were like 8 years old, jumping on her bed, like my sister and her little brother. We were all just like playing around, like kids, you know. And I guess didn't realize there was a porcelain doll under the pillows. It broke, and then I later slid my hand under the pillows and slid it out and cut it open. Blood everywhere. It was actually pretty bad gash, and she was just crying because I broke one of her dolls. And so I guess we grew apart, you know, teenage years, and then in our 20s she died, and she was kind of just hanging out with a bad crowd and getting into drugs and stuff. And it was really just
she died from drugs.
She was doing drugs and stuff, and then she was also diabetic and just didn't take her insulin and wandered off and died alone somewhere and on a trail. But anyway, the scar is kind of just a reminder of her and just kind of thinking about, like, how we affect other people's lives. And you know, you start thinking, well, would things have been different if I had still known her, if, you know, she had different friends? And I guess in the end of the day, you can't really change things. But I guess the song is kind of a reflection on that. And then, so that was one of the first songs I wrote for Chasing White Light. And then my wife Michelle's grandmother passed, and that was, you know, a pretty heavy moment for her, the first time she had experienced death of someone close in her life. So that came out in some songs too, and then I guess one after another the theme kind of carried on. And I mean, I wrote probably like 30 something songs, and then we chose the kind of 10 or 12 that fit this theme.
Right. But sometimes when that happens, and it happens to someone close to you, it just kind of like, it's not just their death that opens up in your, it's like death in general,
it
like
becomes a real all,
everything
thing.
It reminds is, you it happens.
Everything is just constantly dying in a state of dying. Like,
yeah,
it was weird because after we had our conversation, I remembered this show that I saw like a month ago. Have you guys seen a show called The Nick?
Yeah,
it's about these doctor guys and like
1900 or something. I've heard about it.
Anyway, so the guy's making a speech at another doctor's funeral that committed suicide, and he's like, "Here we are, kind of in this Sisyphus kind of way, just trying to postpone the inevitable. It's like the most futile thing. Like, I'm going to stop you from dying now, but you will die. So it was interesting to think about that, and it's weird because once your mind gets on it.
Yeah,
it gets on it. That's how
it wasn't like in a dark place or morbid, but it's just there.
It's a reality, and people. It's funny because it's happening all the time. It's going to happen to everyone. Yet it's something that people just really avoid in their mind as something that can pertain to their own life.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen to somebody else until it's you.
Or they tell themselves it won't happen, or it will be. I don't know. Honestly, when you first brought the material to us, the first thing I felt was a wave of relief that we all agree on this topic. Because if you had brought a bunch of material about afterlife and heaven and things like that.
Oh, like, right. Yeah.
I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, at least the way I think, there's no afterlife and we're all going to die, but that's okay. It's going to.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
Put
it
into perspective.
Were any of you guys raised religiously?
I was raised Catholic, yeah. Yeah. I went to Catholic school, actually, all the way through college, but yeah, it's a good way to turn you atheist.
Yeah. Although, do you ever have to go, like, I was raised Catholic, and I'm Cuban, so there's, like, the Latin Catholicism, like, statues and shit, and, like, you know, grandma holds rosaries.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
And does all the shit and always crosses you. She keeps a thing in the shape of, of a virgin of holy water, and I got in trouble with her in my 20s for referring to it as Aunt Jemima.
So, blasphemy, child.
But what ended up happening to me was I ended up going out with this girl that you know, the relaxed Christianity where like the guy comes out and they have like a rock band and things like, y'all ready to party? Like they literally say that. And like when I went to this party thing, I was like, this is totally like, no one feels bad. Like, there has to be some seriousness going on. Like,
I like my religion stuffy and rigid.
God-fearing.
Yeah. And dramatic. It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
Catholicism.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, those other ones, they're not... I mean, Judaism, extremely dramatic. But, like, the newer ones, they're just not... They don't deal in the... You know,
no, Scientology fire and is pretty brimstone. Dramatic.
That's true. I guess you're right.
Aliens and stuff. I mean, that's sounds like a bestseller.
Yeah, are you? It was. Have you ever read? Have you guys? Have you ever?
No.
There are quite a few in the LA area Scientology buildings.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, I was walking in Pasadena the other day, walk out of a parking lot, and I walked through the lobby of the Scientology building, and didn't realize it until I was already there, and I was like, holy shit, I gotta get out of here.
They're on.
It's just scary.
They're gonna close the door, so I'll be trapped.
I was in New York like a month ago, and I was running and I in the morning, and I was running through Times Square, and right there in Times Square in the theater district, like right off Times Square Street, like just half a block off of it, is their Scientology thing, and I stopped because I saw that movie on HBO and stuff.
Oh,
and
was
it. Yeah. So I'm standing there, I'm looking in the thing, and there's two people working there, and you can see like the guys here. We go. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy just staring in the window at 7:30 in the morning, like, what are you guys doing? Like anyone being whipped
well,
in there?
Now more than ever, there's a lot of scrutiny.
Hey, buddy, you look kind of stressed. Come in here, we can help you out.
But just the people ain't falling for it anymore. You know, it's not the 70s. It's not like, oh, you know, I mean, times are always troubled, but we know what's happening. But they're so good with real estate. Yeah, they do get those hot spots and Times Square and things like that. And
they really do.
They'll be rich forever, for long, long after the religion is gone, with all the real estate that they have.
It's weird. It's just weird. It's weird, like, it makes Tom Cruise weird. Not that he's not weird, but I always think of him as...
cults are weird.
Yeah, they're weird.
That's how they are.
Thank you. What were you raised?
I was raised in complete absence of religion. I was never told anything about religion. In fact, when I was, like, 6 or 7 going to school and somebody was like, Jesus this, Jesus that, I was like... Huh? And they're like, you don't believe in Jesus? Dude, I don't know what you're talking. I've never heard about what you're talking about. So I had this very, very trippy experience of never having had to accept it. So it just sounded dumb the very first time I ever heard of it.
You have like that so, Bill Maher reaction
to
it.
At age 7. It's like, dude, if I'm 7 and I know that this is ridiculous, I just don't know what to tell you, man. like.
Did you ever have questions about like what happens when I die or when people die? Or
well, sure, but I don't. I think I've always found infinity to be absurd, and I don't really understand the concept of desiring it, let alone expecting that it will occur. And once you condemn infinity as absurd, the only alternative is finitude, and that's what we have. That's a lifetime. It exists for a certain amount of time.
Are you going to explore that on your science show?
Well, sure. Yeah,
Dave's science show?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to it once I finish all the chemistry stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is weird. I don't understand. Like, when I think about space, it confuses me. And then the travel and the time it takes, and then the fact that you can move time yourself.
Well, time flows at different rates for different observers, depending on how fast you're moving. Special relativity.
Or how close you
this
are.
This is when my listeners find out just how dumb I actually am.
Yeah. So, this is the science section of the podcast.
How about the Kardashians? So now you're going to be out on tour with these guys, Young Buffalo, for pretty much the rest of the month until you're hitting. When this comes out, you're going to be in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
Friday?
Yeah.
This comes out Friday. You'll be in St. Louis. You're going to be heading up to... You're going to play the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, which I've never played. I didn't realize they opened one. Is that new?
I don't know.
I've never heard about it
There
before.
Was one in L.A. that was really successful, and they closed that down a few years ago.
Really?
I didn't know
but
that
there was
it was
always,
a chain.
I think there was original one was in New York.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if it was Brooklyn or Manhattan, but...
The old one... There was one in Manhattan that was like three different stories.
Mm. That's kind of how LA. It wasn't stories, but it was three different.
There
rooms.
Were three rooms. Rooms. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not sure if this is a new venue or what, but it's always fun to play Brooklyn.
Yeah. How did you like the Mohawk?
Mohawk was great. I had seen shows there during South by, but hadn't played there, so it was a good room and
good
sound guy.
You guys fit all right. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
In general, in Austin, good sound. It's like you just can count on that.
It's Austin and Nashville have good sound guys.
It's a music town.
Music towns, yeah.
Mm-hmm. L.A., man.
L.A. is hurting, man.
Really?
Which I don't know why. You think it's a music town. It's like it's a major music area, but it's few and far between.
Where do you play there now? Is it still cool to play the Viper Room?
No. Oh, mercy, no. Sunset Strip, you stay away from, except the Roxy, which has turned
it's
legit.
It's getting better.
Yeah. But in general, we're in kind of a strange limbo because we've felt at one point whether it's valid or not that we sort of outgrew sort of the smaller indie clubs, but then there's
like
this
Spaceland
which is now the Satellite. Okay. I mean, which is a cool venue, but it's this there's this strange chasm between that level of venue and then like say the El Rey or the Fonda or something that's more like 700 cap, like there's not anything in between,
right?
And you can't, it's really hard to make that leap. So, you know, we're not really sure where we sit in the LA market, actually.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of like the Echo Park, you know, the Echo, Echoplex, Satellite. Yeah.
There's a couple new ones that opened.
There's a new one. I really want to check out the Terragram Ballroom. Opened up in downtown LA, which is same guy who owns Bowery Ballroom in New York.
It's
supposed to have
great.
Killer sound. I think that's like a 600 cap room or so. They've been getting some really cool shows in there.
Do you guys is like one of the goals to travel with your own sound guy? Because that's one of the things that like I noticed once I did. I was like, wow, I've spent a long time in my career just putting my
trust
music in the hands of a dude that's never heard it, has no idea what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And last night it went well, and sometimes it does not. You know.
Yeah.
We never know what we sound like in the crowd too.
No idea.
You can only hear. On stage,
I only hear half of what's on stage. Even you know,
No, that's a luxury we can't afford yet. But that's definitely the next step when we, you know, making enough money to bring in and have enough room
sound
in the van to bring
somebody
else. Somebody
can drive the van a little bit, help move some gear. Oh, you're talking about paradise right there,
dude. It's total paradise. Yeah.
We are very much in the DIY phase of touring. So.
Yeah, I had it. Like the guys, I love saying this because it sounds so sad, but you can go, I mean, look, I was playing gigs. There's a picture on the wall, my first band gig when I was 14 years old. I'm 47. So at 31, or no, 30, I got dudes, but then on 31, I hit the road with the dudes. And the dudes were only with me for really like 2000, a little bit into 2001. Then we went into a no dude scene. Yeah. Man,
you got a glimpse.
You get so used to those dudes so fast. Yes. Like, I thought I was going to quit playing music because I had to unload my gear. Oh.
That's the problem with like when things get better is like if they ever get worse back to where you were.
It feels terrible.
It feels terrible. Yeah. It takes years to bounce back.
The fluctuation in gig attendance is something we're still trying to kind of figure out. You assume that once you reach a certain level in a market that it's kind of going to be there or better, and it's just not the case, you know.
It's very dependent on, you know, day of the week and season.
What else is going on?
But even radio support that immediate quarter. And, like, if it's, you know, there's a lot of factors, and we don't know them all or understand them all, so we end up just being perplexed by the attendance patterns.
And you guys are going for radio with this record, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
How do you do that now? Like, you hire a guy,
we have a radio rep, and we have label support, and they handle most of that stuff. But we actually, you know, we're pretty hands-on in that we, like, any radio stations that have supported us in the past, we start sending personal messages and little letters to, and like, hey, thanks a lot, we have a new record.
Sexy photos and, you know.
Well, we try to keep that personal touch so they remember us. And like, sure. Hey, yeah, we're going to, when these guys are coming back through town, let's get them into the studio. And, you know, we try to do that kind of stuff as much as possible.
And to me, that stuff isn't there are people that are disingenuous when they're doing that.
Yeah.
There are such people. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's you're getting to hang out with people who are nice. Usually, mm-hmm. they have the same interest as you.
Right,
they're in the same thing as you.
Yeah.
They probably like to go have a drink after the thing. So eventually, you do make like this business is weird like that. It's very friend oriented, mm-hmm. and then once you make these friends, you know, that's how it works too. You know, like if you get a choice between. I feel like the whole entertainment business is moving away from letting people be assholes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Because that's probably a good thing.
Kind of at a point now where, like, you would take a person that may not be a virtuoso over a virtuoso if they're easy to hang with in the van.
Yeah.
I mean, not incompetent, but, like, you know.
Right.
Somebody who...
Somebody you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only so many shows you want to play with a virtuoso dick. Like... If you're just and it really doesn't matter guy, how good like, someone is, because
there's
anymore.
So many people that are so good now where you're like, yeah, I can find someone else.
Kanye West is still the anomaly here, right? He's like kind of the only like big asshole out there who's really successful still.
Yeah, and no, I really like him, and I have a hard time with him. No, there are, but not as...
But like, there aren't that many like rock stars now. Like, I'm thinking the last like asshole rock star I can think of was like Liam Gallagher from Oasis or something.
Right.
Well, are they both assholes?
And what's Liam the like Maroon 5 guy? I'm sure he's douchey, but I'm sure he's a nice guy to hang out with and have a drink with.
Uh-huh. Or entertaining at least.
Yeah.
But there aren't guys who are like spitting on the crowd and yelling at people and like
saying, get these people away from me.
Yeah.
if you enter the pop realm, then they're all fucking, I mean, you know, they're Biebers and what have you. I don't know. I feel like they probably are mostly predominantly like that. I mean, you get that privileged, especially at a young age. I mean, it just makes sense psychologically.
Are you referring to kind of watching that court video that was out some years ago of him getting questioned in the office of the lawyer and just really like in a way brought out like the fucking smack you kid vibe and it brought it out in me. I was like, if I ever see that kid, I'm gonna fucking come here.
And you try to look at it both ways. You try to condemn the behavior and at the same time find some kernel of sympathy deep within you to go, you know, if I look at this child as an automaton that's just responding to the stimuli, like he's 12, everyone's like, you're a superstar, of course they're gonna act like that. Are you kidding me?
That's funny. My best friend plays bass for Kelly Clarkson, and he started like 8 years ago. And when he first started playing with her, I was like, man, what is she like? She as cool as I think she is. And he goes, man, she's cool as fuck for a 23-year-old millionaire. I mean, she's very cool for someone that has this going on.
Yeah.
Because there are fits that are thrown that you don't really understand how this person's getting mad about something.
If she's not a massive C word, then like it went well.
So you just had a kid.
Yeah.
2 months, right?
2 months old.
And you,
a little over 2 months, yeah.
A little over 2 months. I mean, what's going to happen in the future?
I ask myself that every day.
I do
you mean the future with, like personally, like music and stuff, or just big picture stuff here?
It's daughter or son?
Son.
Son. Okay. So what do you have, like, do you look at the future and go like, what's this, you know, what's this guy got? Look at, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are you going to let him,
it's kind of scary,
have a phone at an early age? Are you going to,
that's all. And like, do we track him down and like watch his every move? You can like put homing devices on your kids.
You can implant the chip in the neck. Yeah. You know, right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My parents were very, trusting in me and hands off, you know, by the time I was a teenager and not driving around doing my own thing, they kind of just like let me do my thing. And I think that's definitely the way to go. But just in terms of the,
I bet in some way that you earned their trust.
Yeah, I mean,
you weren't like
I wasn't a fuck up
and they're letting you do whatever.
Yeah, it's true. So,
well, you didn't have millions of dollars in growing fans.
It's true.
Who knows how that would have gone.
But yeah, even just like having to enter that reality now of thinking like, I have to start saving for college fund, and I can't even imagine what that's going to fucking cost by the time he's able to.
$3 billion.
Yeah, it's like some bubble's got to burst there. We got to get, we got to like Bernie or something.
It'll be robot college. It'll be all top.
It'll be robot college.
It'll be only internet.
There is a lot of internet college.
Education can't continue to inflate the way it is. It's just absurd. I mean, I don't see the basis for it, and it's not sustainable. We'll have a nation of uneducated people if that continues.
It's like that movie Idiocracy.
It is.
Yeah. No, it's like watching the whole Donald Trump spectacle is really like President Camacho or something.
It's
like,
not just Trump, though. It's every Republican candidate.
It's the whole... It's
every one of them.
Yeah, it's...
Cruz and Carson, they all say the most
insane
moronic
shit.
Things. It's like a cartoon. It's ridiculous. But...
safe to say you're not voting for Trump.
Yeah,
I think also it's like, I feel like also it's some weird media, because I feel like I never, until like the last couple of elections, you don't know everyone a year and a half before. They're not having, were they always having debates a year before the thing?
Seems so early. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they always do that?
No, I think it's gotten longer. No. Yeah. I mean, and also like these polls about like, you know, Trump is in the lead, stuff like, is the media just doing this because it's great for their fucking
they
ratings?
They absolutely are doing that, yeah.
And also, at this point, I believe that the extremes of the party are who are really involved. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like the middle people that actually get the people elected probably aren't going to do Trump, probably aren't going to do Bernie Sanders.
Well, yeah.
Because they're... But the people on the outsides are you know, vocal at this point because they're very involved.
Well, yeah, in a time of crisis, you need extremism, but you need the right side of it.
I know.
And that's
or the
not
left
the
side.
Right. Yeah. Thanks
yeah,
for
or the left
that.
Side.
Yeah.
Or the left side. So you have you said you had a Ford Econoline 350 van?
That is correct.
That's all the right.
As of today, it's still working.
Okay. Hey, man. Mm-hmm. I always vote for great things happening in cars on the road.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good vote.
Yeah,
vote for things working.
Vote for safety
in general.
So you guys have great videos, and Jessie was saying yesterday that she's in the production of
So she does music video production and like TV promos and stuff like that for various networks. So she definitely helps kind of orchestrate these things and organize things for us, and you know, pulls any favors she can. That definitely helps.
Guys have really like, I mean, they're really gorgeous videos. I'm trying to think of the name of the song with the one that starts off with the city skyline and the
running.
Clouds are changing.
Orion
actually did that one.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I helped.
Look at me.
Damn.
Yeah. Dave and I were basically just by ourselves running down the streets of Los Angeles with a camera.
We weren't
and a
running.
Projector.
We were actually walking pretty slowly.
But yeah.
It was a pain because he had the projector or the camera strapped to the projector, and we were just walking like three steps, take a snapshot, three steps, take a snapshot, and I had the generator on my back. We thought it was going to last this whole couple mile path that we had traced, but the generator ended up lasting like 45 minutes. So we had to do this over several nights, and there were a lot of hours spent like getting the shots and then going to sit in like a burger joint or something while we recharged the the generator so we could get the next like
it took a lot longer than we thought it would.
Yeah, all in all it's probably about 5 or 6 shooting hours at least.
Yeah,
because what they did, and they haven't really explained it, but
right.
they're projecting the lyrics. It was like kind of a fancy lyric video, so they were projecting the lyrics on the ground or on walls or wherever as they were walking, so they had to, it's almost
but
like stop motion
it, but
kinda,
we did
right?
it by still image. It was essentially stop motion. Yeah,
right.
It's like time lapse, basically.
Mm-hmm. But, and so had to sync it correctly so that when the lyrics are being sung,
yeah, Ryan did all the math on it. He was like, okay, this is going to be this many frames per second on the playback on the DVD in the projector, and we're going to take, you know, he had it rigged that, like, on the playback track, it would go beep every couple of seconds, which is when we have to take a frame to keep the consistency of pace or something.
It felt like, lot like, you know, when your imagination of like what old like slave ships were like, where like they've got the guy with the drum, like
because you have to move.
We basically were like for 45 minutes every 4 seconds you had to like walk forward and take a frame. You can't stop. You just have to keep going.
Is how slow the playback was going to get that fast speed on the regular playback. For about 90 seconds it would just say no or something, like one word as we go back, and then all these people think we're doing this weird performance art piece. Yeah. They're like, yeah, no. No, I agree. No,
we had so many people come up to us and just try to talk to us. Like, sorry, man, we can't talk. I gotta keep going.
Also, they'd follow us for a couple minutes. Something, right? Yeah.
Somebody was like, I agree with no. Let's go. Let's take it to the top.
Oh, so
I'm in favor
weird.
Of no.
Hashtag no 2015.
So it was a little bit of a performance art piece in that respect, but
that's awesome. Are you a film person?
Yeah, I did film back in college.
Okay, and
always been interested in it. But
do you have a work day job?
Yeah, I work in television actually, so it's all related.
What aspect?
I work at a music video television station.
Wow.
So, you guys see Havoc Television out here on Video On Demand.
Okay.
It's music
and check
videos
all our promos
stuff.
That Ryan put in there in front of other people's.
It's doing good.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the day job.
Yeah, and you bartend.
Yeah.
And you are...
I do science communication. And education. I do Professor Dave Explains is a YouTube channel, and actually Ryan does all the animation for it.
Oh, fantastic. So, oh, yeah, you were saying that yesterday.
Lonely Wild side project, I guess you could think of it as.
Professor Dave Explains.
Professor Dave Explains. Right now, chemistry tutorials, but will grow to encompass a number of subjects.
Who's your audience for that?
Well, right now, predominantly just chemistry students, because it's like, here's the topic you're learning in chemistry class. Your teacher's bad and can't explain it properly, so listen to this. It's simpler and quicker, and there's animations and stuff. So predominantly that, but the general chemistry series I would like to be, or is meant to be, intelligible to the common person with no prior knowledge. So just like, I would love to popularize it to the point where someone's like, hey, let me learn a year of chemistry in 3 hours. Just like, it's just, you know, I won't remember everything, but at least, you know, I'll know a little bit of chemistry.
Maybe I should.
I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. It's just about the world that you live in and how it works.
Yeah. Hmm. Can people find links to it on the Lonely Wild website?
I don't think from the Lonely Wild, but it's just ProfessorDaveExplains.com.
Okay. ProfessorDaveExplains.com. People can find you guys, your videos, and your amazing album, Chasing White Light, which was produced by the great John Vanderslice, at TheLonelyWild.com. You are on Instagram. You are on Twitter. You are on Facebook. You are on the exhausting social media.
All the streaming media content, Spotify, Apple Music.
Do you guys do Spotify yourselves as individuals? How do you do music? How do you do it?
I switched over to Apple Music to try it out for a little bit. I might switch back. But
When we're on the road, it really helps just to have like an endless music library at your fingertips. It's a very nice thing. I know.
Yes, it does.
As a musician, there's you know, obviously big conversation about if artists are getting paid correctly, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, it's like, you got to think this day and age, it's like, it's free.
That's
like,
the way it works.
It's just free now.
Yeah, that's the way it works now. So you got to work with it. And, and also, I always say to these artists, like, do you use Netflix? Because imagine the fucking people that go into producing a show or a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're getting everything you want to see. You know what I mean?
For $10 or whatever. Yeah.
I do Pandora a lot because I hate choosing what I want to listen to. So.
Oh, that's good.
I think if the entire country or the entire world starts using, you know, the Spotify's and Apple Music's and Tidal's and whatever. It could become a good system of just like, okay, we need to figure out how big, how many people are contributing to this, and how much we need to charge everybody on a monthly basis, and divide it up like that. But it's just, we're in this weird period right now where it's just like, not enough people are using the service, and everybody's paying so little for it that you just, you know,
to me
you
also
make very little.
Right. To me also, as an artist, I would give up, but I've never made Like, I mean, I've had like record deals and publishing deals and shit, but I've never made like mailbox money. Mm-hmm. I've always made my money by going and playing a show.
Right.
So to me, it's not that devastating.
Well, and in the end, it benefits the smaller artists the most because nobody's going to go see a band that they've never heard of. But if they can hear you for free in 15 seconds, they might go. And that's where we just agreed we're making all the money. So I just, you know, it doesn't benefit pop artists because they do stand to make a ton of money on their recordings. But yeah. We're not looking to cash in real heavy on a record. We're looking to
have... It would be nice if we could.
I mean,
make a career. You're trying to make a career.
I'll take the money, yeah. But it's 100 times more realistic that we make a decent income on the road.
There's got to be a sustainable income of it, or else, you know, nobody's going to do it anymore. There's got to be a way to figure it out.
And there's people out there, I think, that have made the transition. Somebody that comes to mind like that is like Kevin Smith, the filmmaker... / podcast dude now. He has this theory that, you know, you can find 10,000 people that are into what you do and you can sustain yourself on that. I mean, you're not going to be living like Arnold Schwarzenegger or fucking...
But who needs to what you want to do?
Yeah, exactly.
If you have 10,000 people that will buy anything that you put out.
You can figure out a way to do it. Yeah.
You can work it.
I mean, with any new medium, I mean, it's either with the Spotify stuff or any of these things, it's either going to equilibrate and it's going to work for everybody, or it'll self-terminate. It's just, it can't, if it's not sustainable, then it won't be. People won't.
I've never heard the word equilibrate.
It's to the balance the verb of attaining equilibrium.
Okay, yeah, all right. That's what I thought it was, but I was like, wow.
It's a fun word.
Say it again.
Equilibrate.
Equilibrate. Got to find a way to use that in rehearsal.
It's just, if it doesn't benefit the people who are subscribing to it or offering their content to it, eventually it won't be.
Right.
It'll either figure out a way to be or it won't be. So, but.
Right. So, Dave, Ryan, Andrew, thank you guys for coming again. And I'm so sorry for deleting your podcast yesterday.
Well, this one's better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't there for the first one.
Yeah.
This one had 100% more Ryan.
Yeah. Yes. That's really what I'm looking for here.
And I love more Ryan.
Yeah. People can pick up. Your album is totally fucking great.
Thank you.
You guys did a great job. Man. Beautiful songs. You guys are a great band. People can find Chasing White Light at thelonelywild.com, as well as the iTunes and Spotify's of the world. We just said that. But people can go to thelonelywild.com, find out if they're coming to a town near you this month of November as they are touring the Midwest and East Coast. Like mavens. good luck. Thank you so much. You're going to Denton now?
Denton, Texas.
All right. Have fun. Yeah. That's a good place.
Much. Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming again.
Yeah. It's just a lie. The
sky is as cold. All right. Andrew, David, and Ryan from The Lonely Wild. You can find them at thelonelywild.com. Pick up their album, Chasing White Light, available now. Produced by the great John Vanderslice. And they are on tour, guys. So go to thelonelywild.com, see if they're coming to a town near you. Tonight, Friday, November 13th, they are at the Bootleg in St. Louis, Missouri. I cannot thank these guys enough for coming back a second time. I'm very sorry I deleted the podcast the first time. We had a brilliant conversation. I also met another member of their band named Jesse. Great lady. Great gang. We had a great conversation, but they came back and did it again the next morning, the day after their show. Troopers, real guys out there trying to get their music heard by people. So I encourage you to go to thelonelywild.com, find all the ways that you can find Chasing the Light, listen to it, look and see if they're coming to a town near you. Get out and see this band. They are very exciting. Okay? The Lonely Wild. While you're out there looking up thelonelywild.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on Stitcher. You can find it all the ways, man. Just look in the world of podcasts. Subscribe to this. Get involved. You can like our Facebook page. You can leave messages. You can see photos of me with The Lonely Wild and all of our other guests and keep up with the show and the guests on the show. All right? Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you have a great weekend. Let's hear some more music from The Lonely Wild. Get out there and find them, thelonelywild.com. Thanks again, guys, for coming back a second time. Let's get down. There's a scar on my arm from a fall on your bed. A broken doll, porcelain.
right. Your family thread fell apart when daddy bought a new suit. Brand new girl on his arm. No one really seemed to alarm. Where was it she had to go? Pulling that heavy stone. And couldn't we have lightened the load? If I could spend the rest of my life thinking about the wrongs I could right. Every moment I'm drawing a line. He might as well have left you for dead. When we grew up, you got lost, died alone in a tent. I wish that I knew you then. I wish I could have been your friend. But where was it she had to go? Pulling that heavy stone. Could we have lightened the load? I could spend the rest of my life thinking about the wrongs I could right. Every moment I'm drawing a line. Where was it you had? Pulling that heavy stone. Could